what's the reason to duck? It's here. You know, there's no reason to duck. I'm here. Rome's here. Keenan Allen, you know, top five defense that we had last year. You know, special teams, all the new roles, whatever. You know, it's we're here. So I'm excited. I know everybody's excited. The Bear fans are excited from what I've heard and seen. And there's no reason to duck. You know, attack it, you know, head first and go get it.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
The voice you're going to be hearing a lot, not only this season, but for seasons to come, Caleb Williams. That's your quarterback with the Chicago Bears. They're willing to put it out there on social, still calling him QB1, despite not having his contract signed yet. But social media department doing their thing, football operations in a completely different area of Hallis Hall. So I wouldn't read too much into that. Doesn't mean there is no concern worthy, but also doesn't mean that you shouldn't have your eye on the situation. We certainly have our eye on things here. Album number two coming at you on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. I'm Anthony Herron, and let's go back out to the hotline. The Score hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. For more Bears conversation, we'll see if anything breaks while we're on the air tonight or while we are on the line with Herb Howard. Herb is a Bears beat reporter for It's the Bigs, and you can find him on the X at Herb Howard 411. Herb, what's happening, man?
Hey, what's going on, brother? How you feeling?
I'm outstanding. I am eagerly anticipating the Bears hitting the practice field, hitting the preseason game field, getting towards this regular season, but there's a lot of work to be done between now and then. Will the Bears QB1, as they're putting out here on social, will the Bears QB1 be there for all of that work? What do you anticipate?
I anticipate that he will be there. I mean, certainly they need him to be there. They've been very clear. He's going to be QB1 to start. That's how it should have been. And so I think they want to get, you know, everything done they need to get done so he's there. Obviously, he can't report until he has the contract. They're supposed to report tomorrow. So maybe something gets done tonight or early tomorrow. But certainly they got to get it done by Saturday. It gets to a point where he starts to miss practices when they are in the critical phase of learning the new offense and having a lot of new players in key positions and trying to gel with the new center and the rookie quarterback. This is not the time for them to be, you know, missing time early. I guess it won't be the biggest deal, but the longer that thing drags on, the more the pressure will mount and it'll become a huge, huge distraction for this franchise as they try to build towards what should be a pretty exciting season.
Have you evaluated yet when is the first time that you would be willing to use the term holdout? Because rookies report tomorrow, the vets report Friday, they hit the practice field Saturday. So by definition, I mean, you know, I've been around this game a long time. I don't even know exactly what the true definition would be for holdout. Like, tomorrow's the first day Caleb is expected to be there. So, like, when do you see yourself potentially being willing to call it a holdout?
Now, I guess it'd be fair to start tomorrow. I won't do it until Saturday. If he's not there and on the practice field on Saturday, then that's when I will officially say they, you know, got themselves into a situation where he's holding out. And so I won't start that tomorrow. Saturday, I think everybody should start it then for sure.
And with that in mind, the work that will be necessary, that's expected for Caleb, and the expectations for this team because of the talent that's been acquired and accumulated by Ryan Poles. Mm-hmm. How much concern should there be then with a rookie QB and the time on task that'll be necessary, frankly, for him to be at his best when they get to the regular season? How much concern should there be then if Caleb is missing a day or days? When will you first be concerned? Is it when the preseason games are starting up, or how will you see it?
Yeah, I'll be concerned on Saturday. It's not going to take much time for me to be concerned about, not that he's not going to show up, but just concerned about their ability to kind of all learn this new system. You got a new OC, you got a rookie quarterback, it's going to be a new center there. And like I said earlier, you got so many new players in key positions. It's going to take this offense some time to gel, even if they start together day one. So you start missing time on task, you start missing reps together with your first team guys, that's going to have an impact on how quickly they can all come together, get on the same page, and kind of build that cohesiveness that you need to be productive offensively. I expect this defense to kind of have to carry the load early on in the season no matter what. But if they start to miss time together, your QB1 isn't there practicing with you from day one, that's just going to kind of elongate that process even more. So I think it's critically important that he gets there. Not that it's going to have some long-term impact on his career, or that's going to mean, you know, a doomsday scenario. But in terms of this team trying to get on the same page as quickly as possible, it's actually going to impact him if he's not there.
Herb Howard, Bears beat reporter Fritz the Biggs, my guest here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And you've been there covering the Bears through every step of the Matt Eberflus regime so far. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of had his little glow up over the offseason here between the look on the exterior, the hair on the head and the facial hair. And also just in addressing you guys who were there prepping him with questions, he does seem more confident and composed. What are your observations of Flus kind of getting to this point? Does he seem like a guy who is more comfortable in his own skin than he's been in years past?
I think he definitely seems like he's a lot more comfortable in his own skin. Just being comfortable being the head coach of the Bears, I think, you know, you kind of just get a little bit more of a relaxed version from him, where you kind of get to say, okay, this is a real dude here. It's not just robotic answers that we kind of get accustomed to hearing sometimes. And so I definitely think he's a lot more comfortable in his position now. Does that mean anything in terms of pressure and expectations? I don't know about that. That may be a different question. But in terms of just feeling comfortable and feeling like, you know, this is his team, he's leading the ship, I think he feels a lot more comfortable in that scenario. You can tell not only in his presence in this press conference and how he answers the questions, or even how he starts off the press conference, sometimes with a joke here or there, but just how he kind of, you know, goes about his business, walking around the building when you see him sometimes, or out on the field. He just looks like he's in complete command and in complete really comfortable with his role right now.
And the amount of pressure that's there that you referenced, I've been under the impression throughout the offseason that the more pivotal decision was not whether or not Ryan Poles would move on at quarterback from Justin Fields. I think that was a big deal. But to me, the bigger decision was sticking with Matt Eberflus as a head coach. Do you believe that Matt Eberflus, as we look at this season, year three, for him, but he does have a rookie quarterback. What is the balance for the expectations you put on Matt Eberflus while having the context of some of the newness and the rookie QB that the Bears have?
I think you look at it and you say, you know, satisfaction is directly linked to expectations, right? His first year, there's no way you could have any expectations on him. They throw that roster completely down to the stud. I think the expectations coming in to the 23 was that they had some obvious improvement. Now, they took a strange route to get to that improvement, but I think you can say defensively that they absolutely improved over the course of the season. And he did a really, really good job of kind of navigating those tumultuous waters early and kind of getting the ship back right, if you will. So I thought he earned his way back, not only from just kind of being able to keep everybody together as they went through a lot of different things, but also what he was able to do as a defensive play caller. I thought that he did really, really well there. I know we give a lot of the credit to just Montez Sweat showing up, and Jalen Johnson has been giving a lot of credit to the secondary getting healthier. But I thought it was a very pivotal moment when Flus took over as defensive play caller. I thought that helped him out a lot as well. So I thought he earned his way back here. But now that we're here, you look at all the improvements that have been made on this roster on both sides of the ball. You look at the fact you got two top 10 picks. You got this rookie quarterback is coming in with all these great expectations. I think there absolutely should be some pressure on Flus. The expectation is that we win. And if you don't meet that expectation, then how is anybody going to be satisfied, Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren included?
The coordinators, and I love some of the pointed questions that you've had not only for Matt Eberflus, but for Luke Getsy and his coordinators over the years here also. And, you know, my issue with Luke Getsy, he may end up going on to be a quality coordinator with a quarterback who maybe more suits his mind and his play calling style. Sure. But there was a lot that left to be desired with the way he coordinated the Bears offense that was in place, the quarterback and the personnel that he had here. So for Shane Waldron as the Bears offensive coordinator and play caller, yes, there was success with the veteran Geno Smith. But how do you evaluate what the expectations should be for Shane Waldron, again, with the context of a rookie quarterback and a lot of the new personnel that's here, but this is a season that will have expectations for the team as a whole?
Listen, you, at the top of this conversation, you played the clip from Caleb Williams saying, why would we be ducking the smoke? I asked him that. He's like, why are we going to duck that smoke? And I think that the entire organization should be taking that approach, right? They've got the pieces in place. Ryan Poles has put a lot of the pieces in place for this team to be a playoff team this year. And so I think that the expectation on Shane Waldron, I evaluate any offensive coach really, and defensively, defensive coordinators as well, but I evaluate them simply on their ability to be multiple in the way they go about attacking defenses, their ability to be versatile in terms of maybe this week we need to run the ball 40 times. Maybe next week we need to throw it 40 times. Whatever the game plan requires on a week-to-week basis, maybe on a half-to-half basis, his ability to kind of adjust on the fly and alter his game plan to, one, what suits his player's abilities, but two, what's the best way to attack this week's opponent. And so sometimes you get these coaches and listen, coaches at that level, they all think they know the best way to win a football game. You don't get to that level without thinking you know the best way to win a football game. I got a ton of respect for that, but there also has to be a little bit of flexibility in there to say, okay, maybe I need to come off of what my system is and figure out what's the best way for us to win this week's game. And Coach Waldron is able to do that and tailor game plans week to week, specifically to what's going to get his players in the best position to succeed, but also what's going to give them the best opportunity to attack the opponent. And I think he's going to do a really, really good job.
Herb Howard, Bears beat reporter from It's the Bigs, my guest here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. You can find him on social at HerbHoward411. And the way that the Bears defense performed in the second half of last season, like you referenced, Matt Eberflus certainly deserves a lot of credit for that, while at the same time there is, again, the context of many of the quarterbacks that they faced in that stretch of dominance in the second half last year. What do you think is the reality of the Bears defense as it sits right now? Is this one of the top defenses in football going in this season?
I think they certainly have the potential to be. I think anytime you still have questions about how you're going to consistently generate a pass rush, it's hard for me to say going into that season that you can be a top five defense. Like, you look at the back seven, they could be as good as any in the league. That secondary is phenomenal. You got to love what you got at linebacker, but you got questions up front, right? You got to figure out, number one, is Javon Dexter a difference maker, right? If he can be a difference maker at that three technique position, you constantly hear Flus talking about it being the engine of the defense. If he can be a difference maker, that's going to go a long way towards the defense being what they need to be. And then you got to look at the end opposite Montez Sweat, right? Are you going to get some consistent production in terms of pass rush from that other end position? If you can answer those two questions positively, then yeah, I think this defense could legitimately be a top five defense. They can legitimately be scary, but those are two huge questions that I just can't answer for you right now, at least not until the pads come on and we start to see guys moving around a little bit. Maybe in the preseason I'll be a little bit more confident, but I do like the pieces that they have. I think they have the potential to be a top five defense, but until you can answer those two questions about the opposite end of Montez Sweat and a three technique, I don't think you can say definitively going into the season that this is a top five unit.
And you've been there for all the training camps. You've been amongst those asking Matt Eberflus the questions during his previous preseasons about playing time for starters. And last year, where a number of starters, especially on the O-line, were banged up, you didn't see a lot of reps in the preseason for Justin Fields and some others. So do you feel like you have a sense for the approach that Matt Eberflus would prefer to take? And what do you anticipate him doing as far as reps for starters this preseason?
I think his preference is to kind of get the majority of the work done at the practices, especially some of those joint practices where you can kind of create some scenarios and things like that. I think that's his preference. But I think that you got a lot of new players learning a new system. They are going to need some time on the field to come together. Now, the interesting part of that is mostly you're thinking about like Caleb Williams, right? Getting the chemistry with the center and all those types of things. But look at his skill position, guys. Other than Romo Dunze, you're talking about a lot of veterans who don't really need that much time on the field in the preseason. And so when you start to take out a Keelan Allen or a DJ Moore or Cole Kmet, then you aren't going to leave Caleb Williams out there with the rest of those guys. No disrespect, you just aren't going to put him in that situation. So you kind of want to give him some of those reps. But at the same time, those vets that he plays with in the number one offense, they don't need as many reps. So it's really kind of how long do you leave those veterans in? And when you pull them out, you probably got to pull Caleb out. So it's a little bit of an interesting dichotomy there between him being a rookie that needs the reps and his skill guys mostly being vets that don't necessarily need them.
As you look at the Bears' schedule, and my producer, Robbie Triano, he posed the question to me prior to the show, posing it to you now as well, about the opponents the Bears face. And we were just talking about the defense a moment ago, but a lot of these quarterbacks, you know, they got some guys, and who knows what happens with injuries and all those things, of course. But as of right now, what we anticipate on the Bears' schedule with C.J. Stroud in week two, Matthew Stafford in game four, a lot of the guys in the division like Jordan Love, and who knows what happens with Sam Darnold, J.J. McCarthy, but Jared Goff, a made man, Brock Purdy, a guy who's won so many games in recent years with San Francisco. Who's the guy that stands out to you? Geno Smith will be on the schedule later in the season in Seattle as well. Mm-hmm. Who's the best opposing quarterback that's on the Bears' schedule?
I would start in the division first, just because you're going to see these guys twice, right, with Jared Goff and Jordan Love. Now, the Bears have seemed to figure out the Jared Goff question. He doesn't play well against the Bears in terms of in comparison to how he plays against most of the other teams. And then Jordan Love came in here last year, and he looked like, you know, the third straight quarterback was going to dominate up in Green Bay for some time to come. So the Bears got to figure that out. But I would say the best that they've got is C.J. Stroud. I'm really excited to see what he looks like week two down in Houston. Can he pick up where he left off last season? It's rare to see a kid come into the league and kind of perform the way he did as a rookie quarterback last year. When you come into his second year, you got to be excited about where he is. He's probably the quarterback that I'm just most excited to see on the schedule. And so I would say C.J. Stroud, but you got a couple good ones right here in the division too that the Bears got to worry about.
Yeah, man, this division, I just think back to a year ago around this time. We're like, all right, they might be able to take that north and not give it back and blah, blah. Minnesota's still good. Green Bay's still good. Detroit is not a joke. And here are the Bears just trying to scrape their way back towards the top, scrape their way out of the basement where they finished last season. It's going to be fun to watch. Always look forward to reading your writing, hearing your questions at the press conferences, and just your coverage on the whole, Herb. Appreciate your time tonight.
Again, I appreciate you, man. Take care.
That is Herb Howard of It's the Bigs. I'll make sure I check Herb out when I go up there to training camp at some point. I know he'll be there on the daily with the rest of the Bears beat. The Bears beat isn't going to have that much pressure on them, but on social media, there's an account I've been talking about a few times here lately on the station that just put a little kind of bug in my head. It's something that harkened me back to my childhood with some of the most pressure-packed sports viewing moments that I've had as a youngster. I want to share the one that stands out to me most, give you my thoughts on that. Ask the same question to Robbie Triano, though. The most pressure-packed sports viewing moment that he's had? We'd love to get your thoughts as well at 312-644-6767. The most tension that you have felt as a sports fan. I'm going to relate that to a movie topic as well. We'll do that next. I'm Anthony Herron. This is Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Ewing out to set a pick. Here's Starks, changed his mind. Plenty of time on the shot clock, down to 10. Ewing for Smith. Smith. Strip Smith. Stop Smith. Stop the game. What a play by Scottie Pippen. Final seconds. Jordan for Armstrong. And the Bulls have defeated the Knicks. The Chicago Bulls with a couple of spectacular plays.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That's right, BJ. Let's go, Hawks. BJ Armstrong hitting that layup. That's the icing on the cake from that moment back in 1993. Me as an extremely young Bulls fan. That season, the Eastern Conference Finals from 1993 on the back end of their initial three-peat. Before, of course, going on to the second three-peat later on in the 90s after MJ goes to play baseball for a couple of years and then comes back and is not himself in 95. Then we know what happened in 96, 97, and 98. But in the context of 1993, that for me, that moment where in the Eastern Conference Finals, the Chicago Bulls are facing the New York Knicks. The Knicks, after the Bulls finally took down the bad boy Pistons and, you know, kind of worked their way through that rugged stretch where Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Horace Grant, John Paxson, Bill Cartwright, all the toughness that they needed to sort of, you know, be sharpened with, and, you know, the sharp elbows of Bill Cartwright, a big part of that, pun intended, sharpened, that the Bulls had to sort of get through. But you get to that point where now they've won the last two NBA championships, but the next squad, the next sort of bully team in the East that tried to do everything they could to take a page out of the Jordan rules type playbook that the Pistons executed at such a high level was the New York Knicks. And season after season, the Bulls and the Knicks would meet each other in the postseason, and the Bulls were just at a point where they were mowing everybody down. But within the context, because, you know, a lot of folks don't realize this, what it felt like at that point, where we think of the six championships in 8 years, and even the initial season without Jordan, where Scottie Pippen led the Bulls to the brink of another NBA Finals appearance, and they were a bad call against the Knicks away from actually being able to get there. But it wasn't always as easy as history seems to indicate to us that it was. So that third championship run they went on in 1993 in that Eastern Conference final series. And I remember what I felt like at that point, where because the Bulls had won the NBA championship in 1991 and 1992, and so many of us who were rabid and fanatical Bulls fans at that point just felt like, man, the NBA is tired of watching MJ. They're not even – he should obviously be the MVP. What are they doing giving the MVP to Charles Barkley? That's not an MVP. Everybody knows Mike's the best player in the game. Oh, look at the way all these calls are going against the Bulls. Nobody wants the Bulls to win again. And so we feel like the basketball world is against us. The basketball world was against the Bulls at that point. Again, like, it just in the fanatical Bulls fan mindset. And so in the midst of that playoff run, as they're coming towards that three-peat, trying to win that third championship in a row, and the road toward that third title just felt more difficult. And they get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and they're facing the New York Knicks, who were one of the bullies of the Eastern Conference that season. And the Knicks actually won the first two games of that Eastern Conference Finals series. They won at Madison Square Garden. They had won 27 games in a row at the Garden at that point. And then the Bulls return to the Chicago Stadium, and they win games 3 and 4. So they went back to the Garden with the series, the Eastern Conference Finals, tied at 2 games apiece. So game 5 certainly felt like not just a pivotal game, but the pivotal game in that series. And the score, the game, the matchup was nip and tuck, and the Bulls' defense is what was really forced to rise up, where within a span of just a few seconds, you just heard the clip, the great Marv Albert on the call, Bulls had the lead 95-94 with 20 seconds to go in the game. But the Bulls and but the Knicks and John Starks, they had a chance to take the lead on that possession. Charles Smith got the ball, fumbled around with it a little bit under the basket, and then on 4 separate opportunities, within like a 5-second span, he just kept getting blocked over and over again by Horace Grant, by Michael Jordan, by Scottie Pippen. And for me, as a young sports fan, and we were all huddled up in my parents' bedroom, and we're just watching the game on the TV they had in their bedroom, and I'll never forget the image as we're all just, you know, everyone has been swept up in the early 90s in this Bulls fanaticism, and you're just coming off the Dream Team in 92, and so Michael Jordan and the Bulls have become this iconic worldwide brand at that point. So it felt like everyone in the world was watching every move that Jordan and the Bulls were making. So there was gravity to this moment. There was gravity to this run towards a potential three-peat. But here are the Knicks, this big blockade in the way of the Bulls trying to get there, and the Bulls' defense rising up in the way that they did. But as we're huddled up in my parents' bedroom and just on their bed watching the TV, watching this moment, Charles Smith going up over and over again for layup, just block after block, and the Bulls are stopping him and blocking him over and over again. I just remember, as we're all swept up in that moment, my dad was 6'6", and at one point, as we're all screaming and yelling at the TV and pumping our fists and screaming and whooping and everything, my dad hops up on my parents' bed And him standing on a bed at 6'6", he hits his head on the ceiling in my parents' bedroom, just in his excitement, in all of our excitement in watching the stress, the tension of that moment, of the level of defense the Bulls are playing, and the gravity of that moment of them coming through and coming out with that Game 5 win. And, of course, they go on to win the series and win their third consecutive NBA championship. That moment came to mind for me just because I've been talking about the Twitter account All the Right Movies a lot on the station lately, because it came into my Twitter feed. It came into my timeline at some point, and I just can't get away from it. And frankly, I don't want to get away from it. But yesterday, and it's at AT Right Movies, but yesterday they mentioned, they tweeted about the Blair Witch Project, which was released 25 years ago yesterday. And just about the influence that the Blair Witch Project had on the film industry, because it was a bunch of unknown actors on a shoestring budget, and sort of horror film history was made from their filmmaking style. And what they did so exceptionally well in the Blair Witch Project was milk the tension of scenes and milk the, put you in a situation of horror because you felt like you were a part of the reality of what they were experiencing. And the marketing of the Blair Witch Project was absolutely fantastic, because they made it seem, and this is a time shortly before legitimate social media, and so they had an ability to market it as though it were real, as though this storyline was a real thing. And it kind of blurred the lines between what was real and what was fake. They used the real names of the cast in the movie, the IMDb pages of the actors and actresses in the cast and in the film, made it seem like they were all like missing somewhere. It made it seem like they were legitimately a part of the storyline that was dictated and quote unquote documented within that film. I remember in the 90s, I was still in college at that point, and me, my teammates, all of us going to go find the Blair Witch Project that had become, it started off as a cult classic, and the sort of limited release that it initially had, where people are lined up around the block in theaters waiting for the Blair Witch Project, and it became this nationwide phenomenon and then this international phenomenon where everyone wanted to see it, and you still weren't sure whether it was real or fake, but it became this community experience for those who were passionate about movies and those who just wanted to be a part of what was going on. And so thinking about the fact that the Blair Witch Project had been released 25 years ago yesterday had me beginning to think about just tension at large, tension on the whole, tension through the sports context, and some of the most tense moments, some of the most horrifying moments that I've had as a sports fan, and that feeling of togetherness, the oneness that was there, where so many of us kind of had that similar feeling in waiting to see the Blair Witch Project, standing in line for the Blair Witch Project, sitting in the theater and experiencing what, and it seems odd to really talk about it in this way today, but a quarter century ago, again, before social media, there was so much uncertainty. Like, is this an actual documentary, or is this just a horror movie? Is this just a fictional tale? And so that was a part of what enhanced the gravity of what we felt then. And it had me thinking about the gravity of some of my sports viewing moments that I experienced. And for me, as an early sports fan, there's no other moment I can think of as a young sports fan, certainly a young Bulls fan, that felt as tense, as grave as that moment that we play, that I had Robbie Triano play for you coming out of that commercial break. Eastern Conference Finals, feeling like the basketball world was hanging in the balance, and whether or not Charles Smith was going to be able to make that layup to steal Game 5 from the Bulls, and they just rose up and blocked his shot over and over again. I know, you know, me and my parents and our family household there were just gripped by every moment there, just like all of us were gripped as you're seeing the snot bubbles dripping from the nose of the actress in the Blair Witch Project. She's got the little flashlight under her face and the tension that was milked from that moment. I felt a very similar feeling in my stomach, in my heart, the tension, the nerves that were there watching the Bulls in that moment back in 1993, very similar to 1999 with the Blair Witch Project. So I just wanted to share that with you because that was where it took my mind to in thinking about it in that context. I wonder if Cassie Carlson has anything similar to that, whether it was a movie, whether it was a sports moment where she just had all this tension bubbling up in her. But that's my hearkening back to myself as a young sports fan and myself as a younger moviegoer back when I was in college, kind of juxtaposing the Bulls in 93, the Eastern Conference Finals, just narrowly escaping the Garden with what it was like waiting to and then going and experiencing the Blair Witch Project. We get Cassie Carlson from Fox 32 on the line and get some context from her on that. And also, haven't talked yet. All the Bears we've talked so far tonight, haven't talked Hard Knocks yet. I want to get Cassie's thoughts on what that experience will be like in watching things play out first in real time and then seeing it repackaged by HBO and Hard Knocks. And everything that's going on that's cooking with the Bears as kind of the it team on the tip of everyone's tongue around the National Football League. We'll do that next. We'll talk to Cassie Carlson of Fox 32 on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Been having a lot of fun so far on the show tonight. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. I just went out and I checked in with my wife just to confirm. I hit her up just to see because I was trying to remember. My wife does not like horror movies. I absolutely love horror movies, and we went to college together. She's a Hawkeye as well, like me. I was thinking back to our time in college, trying to recall whether or not when I went to see the Blair Witch Project back in 99 when we were in school, I was trying to remember, was it just me and my football teammates, or did she attend as well? I said, nope. Your guys, you went to Cedar Rapids, checked it out. And the level of tension that so many of us, me, my guys, everybody in the little theater there, I just recall how when you're really in a tense moment, you're feeling anxious and the walls feel like they're shrinking in around you. That moment in 93, watching the Bulls in the Eastern Conference Finals, that tension where, you know, we're in my parents' bedrooms. It wasn't a big, giant place anyway, but it felt like the walls were shrinking in around us as Charles Smith had an opportunity to hit that layup. Very similar feeling in going to watch the Blair Witch Project and being in a movie theater in Cedar Rapids and just feeling like the weight of the world was on the screen as we're all just trying to figure out, was this real? Was this fake? Was this a documentary? What's going to happen? Where are the ghosts at? What are these sounds? What are these noises? It was so, so well done. I am Anthony Herron. This is Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. I wonder if my friend Cassie Carlson has anything like that she can relate to what I'm describing here. She's my guest now on the Score Hotline, presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Cassie Carlson, one of the sports anchors at Fox 32. You can find her on the X at Cassie Carlson TV. Cass, what's happening? How you doing tonight?
Big Ant, I am great. I feel like I'm feeling that feeling with these storms that are apparently rolling in.
Right?
I don't watch horror movies for that exact reason. I don't know why you would put yourself through that. But no, I'm hunkering down inside the Fox studios right now. But I miss you. I haven't seen you in so long.
I know. It has been way too long. We are around the corner. Training camp is getting ready to fire up for the Bears, so you and I will get to spend plenty of airtime together for this coming football season. Definitely looking forward to that. And I would say as far as horror movie goes, and I feel like you and I have probably had this conversation off the air before at some point, you don't love horror movies. I do love horror movies, but I do feel like it kind of gives you a little bit of zest for life. Makes you feel alive. At least it does with me. You know, makes me appreciate it.
Well, I can't sleep, so.
I can appreciate that. I can. I can definitely appreciate that feeling that you referenced there. With the Bears, and especially with Caleb here, you know, the clock does tick away. Are you at a point yet where you're getting nervous about whether or not the number one pick is going to be there in time as the rookies are reporting tomorrow?
Yeah, we do our First and North show, and we record it on Tuesdays, and it was a point that we were talking about last week, and I said, you know, we're still a week out. I feel like there's still time. And then I'm looking at the calendar today, and we're talking about it in the newsroom, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, rookies do report tomorrow, and he hasn't signed anything. And it's not just him. It's Rome Odunze as well. I think I wasn't concerned, but now I'm intrigued. It's like, does he have more power than we thought before because of the new NIL era of the quarterback and him being kind of the poster child for that? I don't know, and I guess we're going to find out. I think the bigger concern is that we've seen these situations where they don't have an agent and it just slows the process down. And so watching that unfold might be interesting. And I know he says he has a team of attorneys around him, and he has not only attorneys to deal with contracts, but he has PR people to help him with media stuff. He's got all these people in place and have been in place for so long. But when you are the number one overall pick, you are Caleb Williams, you have the expectation walking in to come and turn this franchise around and be a franchise quarterback, and then you're less than 24 hours away from reporting and nothing has been signed, I think there should be a level of concern. But then again, everyone else is reporting that their stuff is moving and it will get done. I really don't know. I really hope there's no holdout or anything like that. What a way to start a season that would be when there's so much excitement around it too. But it also wouldn't really surprise me. We've seen so much.
Right. How wild would it be? Because it did feel like, you know, where, and I know you and I have discussed this on the air over at Fox 32, the idea that initially there was a lot of concern because of all those storylines about Caleb Williams and his career at USC and the pre-draft process. But then once you guys got to start being around him and we saw more of him in front of the camera and him on the mic, folks really began to feel more ingratiated by Caleb Williams and get to know him a little bit. And now this could be one of those kind of stumbling blocks that could be there. How big of a hurdle do you think it could end up presenting, if nothing else, from a PR perspective? Is there some danger in this for Caleb? Is there some danger in this for the Bears from a PR perspective if it lingers?
Well, if it lingers, I think they just need to get ahead of it, right? That's kind of the problem that it's been in the past where these things start to build up. I think back to last season with some of the coaching things that were going on, and it was never really addressed. And then they're always trying to play catch up, and it seems like they're hiding stuff. And I think when you see people get out ahead of things, that's when, you know, it doesn't seem as quote unquote shady. But I also think that, you know, I go back to the point that you were just making of all the questions that people had about Caleb Williams' character that I really do think have been put to bed ever since it was that one moment when he stepped up to the podium at the NFL Combine in Indy, where people were like, why were people saying these things? Because he was engaged. He's definitely charismatic. He has a very unique personality. And as everyone has said, he's very comfortable in his own skin. So, and I get the sense from him genuinely that, like, he probably doesn't want this to be a distraction, partially because he is the starting quarterback and he has to win over that locker room. Like, how is that going to reflect on some of the teammates in there as well? So I had to guess he wants to avoid this, but this is also a player who is a businessman at the same time. Like, I think we look at the investment firm that he started a month ago, and like, he has his toes dipped in all sorts of things that we just haven't really seen with a player, one at this age probably. And people are already saying, oh, he's going to be a billionaire athlete like LeBron in a short amount of time. So it's a different level of athlete and celebrity all mixed in one. I do deep down think that Caleb Williams is a football junkie and he wants to be on the field. So I hope that this is not going to kind of go over into the start of training camp and he would rather avoid it. But if it does, I sure hope that the Bears address it on Friday when we go up to Hallett Hall for the first time and get on ahead of it. But I'm thinking that we will avoid that.
Cassie Carlson and Fox 32 with me here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. You can find her on social at Cassie Carlson TV. And, of course, Hard Knocks will be beginning in the not-too-distant future as well. I was surprised, I suppose I could say pleasantly surprised, but I thought maybe the Bears are going to find a way to just continue to rebuff the NFL's advances, wanting to force them to do Hard Knocks for the first time. they found a way to get the Bears to do it. Have you been one who's continued to watch Hard Knocks over the years, and how eagerly are you anticipating seeing the Bears on the program?
Yeah, I've always been a fan of Hard Knocks. I think I fall in and out of it sometimes when you're, it's like watching work a lot of times, but now I'm very interested in seeing what the access that they have. That's the coolest part about the show. I've heard that they mic up around like 10 players per day. So we're going to see all different sorts of, you know, characters emerging from this. I'm guessing they have storylines that they are trying to hit. And I know, obviously, Caleb Williams is going to be one. I think DJ Moore and his family and his adorable daughter is probably going to be another. But then I think you have the stories of some other guys who are going to emerge as possible, maybe, you know, bubble roster spots throughout training camp, which are some of the cooler ones. I wouldn't be surprised. I could see someone like Tevin Jenkins kind of emerging as a character on the show. I will be very interested in seeing it, and also just seeing kind of the personality and the team meetings. That's something I remember about watching with the Dolphins and Mike McDaniel, and how he, you know, how he presented himself in front of the team and the energy they had behind closed doors that we don't see. That's part of the reason why we love sports, right? And why I like got into this business and love the job is the telling of the stories. And they're going to have all the access in the world. They have all the resources in the world. So I'm very excited to watch. And then it also is just, you know, something that we're going to be looking at, watching, and then also following up on when we're up there at Halas Hall throughout training camp in the season. So I think it's going to be fun, you know. I'm like a media junkie. Like, I nerd out on some of this stuff and the production, and just seeing the amount of cameras and the setup will be fascinating to me. But I'm also not surprised that they couldn't get away with it just with everything going on. Like, you can only put it off for so long, but then you get the number one overall pick and you have all these now superstars inside the locker room. Like, there's no putting it off anymore. Get it out of the way now and they won't call you for another, 30 years.
Yeah, right. And you get the opportunity because of, you know, Fox 32 being the home of the Bears. You get so many one-on-one opportunities with Bears players during the preseason, during the regular season, after games, you name it. And you've done a lot of great features on these guys in recent years as well. From a Hard Knocks perspective, then, you were mentioning how, you know, maybe the viewing community would get an opportunity to get to know some of these players a little bit better. Who are some of the guys on the roster, whether it is, you know, time that you've been able to cover some of their food interests or fashion interests or family interests? Who's really stood out to you on the current roster that maybe folks will get a little bit of a closer look at via Hard Knocks?
Well, one of my favorite stories that we did last year was going into Jalen Johnson's closet, because who knows Jalen Johnson, he's got the personality and he's got the fits to back it up. And I think it played into obviously being a DB and having that personality and that swagger and talking the talk. And he was obviously playing to get paid. And we were joking, you know, he has all this Louis Vuitton, Prada, like, you name the designer. And I'm like, so what happens when you sign the big contract? He goes, oh, we're going to do a full closet rehaul. So it was really cool to see his, you know, style and all of his shoes. He has like a wall of sneakers inside his house. So that was really fun. DeMarcus Walker is a character and so great. He has his own food truck and has wings. So we got to taste test the wings on Bears Unleashed last year and on the pregame show, and they are legitimately good. And I wouldn't be surprised if the food truck makes its way back up to Chicago for a game. And then actually this offseason, I've been working on a story about Karan Amagaji, a local kid, obviously coming out of an Ivy League school, played at Hinsdale Central, and learned a lot of cool things about just how he grew up and how connected he is to where his family is from in Cameroon. And just, he has always made it a point to go back there. Actually found out he's also a prince, and do a lot of medical drives, and he really wants to build the game of American football over in Africa. So that's something that he is kind of working on behind the scenes to make a point as he becomes hopefully what will be a big contributor to the Bears offensive line, because I think that's one of the areas where people still have questions, which maybe to some surprise, maybe not, going into training camp.
All right, well, I was just talking a few minutes ago about a tense moment as a young sports fan and how I was relating that to a horror film. What's a moment that stands out to you as a young sports fan where you're watching a game and you're all worked up and tensed up about something that was going on that you were viewing?
Oh, okay. So the first one that comes to mind, it's got to be, I want to say, I hope I get this year right, it would have been in 2013. Hawks in the Stanley Cup, and I believe that's when they scored within 8 seconds, because I was in Orlando. I was playing AAU volleyball at the time, and we were at the national tournament. I know we had a match early the next morning, but I was like, I gotta watch this game, and they ended up winning that game and winning the cup, and I just remember being like, oh my gosh, I can't handle all this pressure. But that's one that stands out for sure. Those were some of my favorite years in Chicago sports history.
Yeah, it was a good time. Chelsea Dagger gets a plan, and everybody's having a good time. There's no doubt about that. But no doubt I'm looking forward to seeing y'all football season again, Cass. Appreciate you taking the time tonight, and we'll see you again in the near future.
All right, thank you. Appreciate you, and I'll see you soon.
That is Cassie Carlson. She is on Twitter at Cassie Carlson TV of Fox 32 Chicago. She covers all the sports in the city, does fantastic work covering the Bears. And some of these features, they do have them online over at fox32.com. You got to make sure you check them out. I'm sure Cass will have more of those to come this season in covering the Bears. We're going to transition to a little bit of college conversation because, you know, media days are going on for a wide variety of conferences, including the Big Ten, is going to have their football media days coming up next week. EA Sports has their college football 25 video game that's going to make its debut later this week as well. My guy Adam Rittenberg, let's get him on the hotline, start talking some college sports. Where we have this respite where the day before and the day after the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, those are the 2 days of the calendar year where none of what are viewed as the four major professional sports have any games going on, so we get an opportunity to talk a wide variety of things. We get Adam Rittenberg on the line. Let's talk about the college football season that will soon be upon us. We'll do that next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Been having a lot of fun so far on the show tonight. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I just went out and I checked in with my wife just to confirm. I hit her up just to see because I was trying to remember. My wife does not like horror movies. I absolutely love horror movies, and we went to college together. She's a Hawkeye as well, like me. I was thinking back to our time in college, trying to recall whether or not when I went to see the Blair Witch Project back in 99 when we were in school. I was trying to remember, was it just me and my football teammates, or did she attend as well? I said, nope, you guys, you went to Cedar Rapids, checked it out. And the level of tension that so many of us, me, my guys, everybody in the little theater there, I just recall how when you're really in a tense moment, you're feeling anxious and the walls feel like they're shrinking in around you. That moment in 93, watching the Bulls in the Eastern Conference Finals, that tension where, you know, we're in my parents' bedrooms. It wasn't a big, giant place anyway, but it felt like the walls were shrinking in around us as Charles Smith had an opportunity to hit that layup. Very similar feeling in going to watch the Blair Witch Project and being in a movie theater in Cedar Rapids and just feeling like the weight of the world was on the screen as we're all just trying to figure out, was this real? Was this fake? Was this a documentary? What's going to happen? Where are the ghosts at? What are these sounds? What are these noises? It was so, so well done. I am Anthony Herron. This is Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. I wonder if my friend Cassie Carlson has anything like that she can relate to what I'm describing here. She's my guest now on the Score Hotline, presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Cassie Carlson, one of the sports anchors at Fox 32. You can find her on the X at Cassie Carlson TV. Cass, what's happening? How you doing tonight?
Big Ant, I am great. I feel like I'm feeling that feeling with these storms that are apparently rolling in.
Right?
But I don't watch horror movies for that exact reason. I don't know why you would put yourself through that. But no, I'm hunkering down inside the Fox studios right now. But I miss you. I haven't seen you in so long.
I know. It has been way too long. We are around the corner. Training camp is getting ready to fire up for the Bears, so you and I will get to spend plenty of airtime together for this coming football season. Definitely looking forward to that. And I would say as far as horror movie goes, and I feel like you and I have probably had this conversation off the air before at some point, you don't love horror movies. I do love horror movies, but I do feel like it kind of gives you a little bit of zest for life. Makes you feel alive. At least it does with me. You know, makes me appreciate.
Well, I can't sleep, so.
I can appreciate that. I can. I can definitely appreciate that feeling that you referenced there with the Bears, and especially with Caleb here. You know, the clock does tick away. Are you at a point yet where you're getting nervous about whether or not the number one pick is going to be there in time as the rookies are reporting tomorrow?
Yeah, we do our First in North show, and we record it on Tuesdays, and it was a point that we were talking about last week, and I said, you know, we're still a week out. I feel like there's still time. And then I'm looking at the calendar today, and we're talking about it in the newsroom, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, rookies do report tomorrow, and he hasn't signed anything. And it's not just him. It's Roma Dunze as well. I think I wasn't concerned, but now I'm intrigued. It's like, does he have more power than we thought before because of the new NIL era of the quarterback and him being kind of the poster child for that? I don't know, and I guess we're going to find out. I think the bigger concern is that we've seen these situations where they don't have an agent and it just slows the process down. And so watching that unfold might be interesting. And I know he says he has a team of attorneys around him, and he has not only attorneys to deal with contracts, but he has PR people to help him with media stuff. He's got all these people in place and have been in place for so long. But when you are the number one overall pick, you are Caleb Williams. You have the expectation walking in to come and turn this franchise around and be a franchise quarterback. And then you're less than 24 hours away from reporting and nothing has been signed. I think there should be a level of concern. But then again, everyone else is reporting that their stuff is moving and it will get done. I really don't know. I really hope there's no holdout or anything like that. What a way to start a season that would be when there's so much excitement around it, too. But it also would have really surprised me. We've seen so much.
Right. How wild would it be? Because it did feel like, you know, where, and I know you and I have discussed this on the air over at Fox 32, the idea that initially there was a lot of concern because of all those storylines mm-hmm. about Caleb Williams and his career at USC and the pre-draft process. But then once you guys got to start being around him and we saw more of him in front of the camera and him on the mic, folks really began to feel more ingratiated by Caleb Williams and get to know him a little bit. And now this could be one of those kind of stumbling blocks that could be there. How big of a hurdle do you think it could end up presenting, if nothing else, from a PR perspective? Is there some danger in this for Caleb? Is there some danger in this for the Bears from a PR perspective if it lingers?
Well, if it lingers, I think they just need to get ahead of it, right? That's kind of the problem that it's been in the past where these things start to build up. I think back to last season with some of the coaching things that were going on, and it was never really addressed. And then they're always trying to play catch up, and it seems like they're hiding stuff. And I think when you see people get out ahead of things, that's when, you know, it doesn't seem as quote unquote shady. But I also think that, you know, I go back to the point that you were just making of all the questions that people had about Caleb Williams' character that I really do think have been put to bed ever since it was that one moment when he stepped up to the podium at the NFL Combine in Indy, where people were like, why were people saying these things? Because he was engaged. He's definitely charismatic. He has a very unique personality, and as everyone has said, he's very comfortable in his own skin. So, and I get the sense from him genuinely that, like, he probably doesn't want this to be a distraction, partially because he is the starting quarterback and he has to win over that locker room. Like, how is that going to reflect on some of the teammates in there as well? So I had to guess he wants to avoid this, but this is also a player who is a businessman at the same time. Like, I think we look at the investment firm that he started a month ago, and like, he has his toes dipped in all sorts of things that we just haven't really seen with a player, one at this age probably. And people are already saying, oh, he's going to be a billionaire athlete like LeBron in a short amount of time. So it's a different level of athlete and celebrity all mixed in one. I do deep down think that Caleb Williams is a football junkie and he wants to be on the field. So I hope that this is not going to kind of go over into the start of training camp and he would rather avoid it. But if it does, I sure hope that the Bears address it on Friday when we go up to Hallett Hall for the first time and get on ahead of it. But I'm thinking that we will avoid that.
Cassie Carlson and Fox 32 with me here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. You can find her on social at Cassie Carlson TV. And, of course, Hard Knocks will be beginning in the not-too-distant future as well. I was surprised. I suppose I could say pleasantly surprised, but I thought maybe the Bears are going to find a way to just continue to rebuff the NFL's advances, wanting to force them to do Hard Knocks for the first time. They found a way to get the Bears to do it. Have you been one who's continued to watch Hard Knocks over the years, and how eagerly are you anticipating seeing the Bears on the program?
Yeah, I've always been a fan of Hard Knocks. I think I fall in and out of it sometimes when it's like watching work a lot of times. But now I'm very interested in seeing what the access that they have. That's the coolest part about the show. I've heard that they mic up around like 10 players per day. So we're going to see all different sorts of, you know, characters emerging from this. I'm guessing they have storylines that they are trying to hit. And I know, obviously, Caleb Williams is going to be one. I think DJ Moore and his family and his adorable daughter is probably going to be another. But then I think you have the stories of some other guys who are going to emerge as possible, maybe, you know, bubble roster spots throughout training camp, which are some of the cooler ones. I wouldn't be surprised. I could see someone like Tevin Jenkins kind of emerging as a character on the show. I will be very interested in seeing it, and also just seeing kind of the personality in the team meetings. That's something I remember about watching with the Dolphins and Mike McDaniel, and how he, you know, how he presented himself in front of the team and the energy they had behind closed doors that we don't see. That's part of the reason why we love sports, right? And why I like got into this business and love the job is the telling of the stories. And they're going to have all the access in the world. They have all the resources in the world. So I'm very excited to watch. And then it also is just, you know, something that we're going to be looking at, watching, and then also following up on when we're up there at Hallis Hall throughout training camp in the season. So I think it's going to be fun, you know. I'm like a media junkie. Like, I nerd out on some of this stuff and the production, and just seeing the amount of cameras and the setup will be fascinating to me. But I'm also not surprised that they couldn't get away with it just with everything going on. Like, you can only put it off for so long, but then you get the number one overall pick and you have all these now superstars inside the locker room. Like, there's no putting it off anymore. Get it out of the way now and they won't call you for another, 30 years.
Yeah, right. And you get the opportunity because of, you know, Fox 32 being the home of the Bears. You get so many one-on-one opportunities with Bears players during the preseason, during the regular season, after games, you name it. And you've done a lot of great features on these guys in recent years as well. From a Hard Knocks perspective, then, you were mentioning how, you know, maybe the viewing community would get an opportunity to get to know some of these players a little bit better. Who are some of the guys on the roster, whether it is, you know, time that you've been able to cover some of their food interests or fashion interests or family interests? Who's really stood out to you on the current roster that maybe folks will get a little bit of a closer look at via Hard Knocks?
Well, one of my favorite stories that we did last year was going into Jalen Johnson's closet, because who knows Jalen Johnson, he's got the personality and he's got the fits to back it up. And I think it played into obviously being a DB and having that personality and that swagger and talking the talk. And he was obviously playing to get paid. And we were joking, you know, he has all this Louis Vuitton, Prada, like, you name the designer. And I'm like, so what happens when you sign the big contract? He goes, oh, we're going to do a full closet rehaul. So it was really cool to see his, you know, style and all of his shoes. He has like a wall of sneakers inside his house. So that was really fun. DeMarcus Walker is a character and so great. He has his own food truck and has wings. So we got to taste test the wings on Bears Unleashed last year and on the pregame show, and they are legitimately good. And I wouldn't be surprised if the food truck makes its way back up to Chicago for a game. And then actually this offseason, I've been working on a story about Karan Amagaji, a local kid, obviously coming out of an Ivy League school, played at Hinsdale Central, and learned a lot of cool things about just how he grew up and how connected he is to where his family is from in Cameroon. And just, he has always made it a point to go back there. Actually found out he's also a prince, and do a lot of medical drives, and he really wants to build the game of American football over in Africa. So that's something that he is kind of working on behind the scenes to make a point as he becomes hopefully what will be a big contributor to the Bears offensive line. Cause I think that's one of the areas where people still have questions, which maybe to some surprise, maybe not, going into training camp.
All right, well, I was just talking a few minutes ago about a tense moment as a young sports fan and how I was relating that to a horror film. What's a moment that stands out to you as a young sports fan where you're watching a game and you're all worked up and tensed up about something that was going on that you were viewing?
Oh, okay. So the first one that comes to mind, it's got to be, I want to say, I hope I get this year right. It would have been in 2013, Hawks in the Stanley Cup, and I believe that's when they scored within 8 seconds, because I was in Orlando. I was playing AAU volleyball at the time, and we were at the national tournament. I know we had a match early the next morning, but I was like, I got to watch this game, and they ended up winning that game and winning the cup, and I just remember being like, oh my gosh, I can't handle all this pressure. But no, that's one that stands out for sure. Those were some of my favorite years in Chicago sports history.
Yeah, it was a good time. Chelsea Dagger gets a plan, and everybody's having a good time. There's no doubt about that. But no doubt I'm looking forward to seeing y'all football season again, Cass. Appreciate you taking the time tonight, and we'll see you again in the near future.
All right, thank you. Appreciate you, and I'll see you soon.
That is Cassie Carlson. She is on Twitter at Cassie Carlson TV of Fox 32 Chicago. She covers all the sports in the city, does fantastic work covering the Bears. And some of these features, they do have them online over at fox32.com. You got to make sure you check them out. I'm sure Cass will have more of those to come this season in covering the Bears. We're going to transition to a little bit of college conversation because, you know, media days are going on for a wide variety of conferences, including the Big Ten, is going to have their football media days coming up next week. EA Sports has their College Football 25 video game that's going to make its debut later this week as well. My guy Adam Rittenberg, let's get him on the hotline, start talking some college sports. So we have this respite where the day before and the day after the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, those are the 2 days of the calendar year where none of what are viewed as the four major professional sports have any games going on, so we get an opportunity to talk a wide variety of things. We get Adam Rittenberg on the line. Let's talk about the college football season that will soon be upon us. We'll do that next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.